Hello! Welcome to It's Her Game. A shout out to all the amazing women in the gaming industry, no matter if it's mobile, PC, console or esports. My name is Dominika Schott and my goal here is to introduce you to those inspiring heroines of the gaming world. If you want to find out more about the podcast, make sure you check Facebook page It's Her Game or connect with me on Twitter at Dominika Low-Schott, spelling D-O-M-I-N-I-K-A Low-SZOT. Also, don't forget to subscribe. And now, let's start. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to It's Her Game. Thank you for giving me a little break last week, and I'm happy with the recharged batteries to introduce you to my new guest, Sophie Brookman. Sophie is in the industry for more than 6 years. She's been working on the developers and publishers side, both in mobile and PC gaming. But who I am to introduce her, I think Sophie can do it best by herself. So hello, Sophie, and can you tell us a bit more about your current role and your previous experience?
Hi, Dominika. Sure thing. I'm so happy to be here and to be part of your podcast now as well. And thank you so much for the warm welcome and introduction. I've been listening to the previous episodes a little bit as well and just found it really interesting and inspiring to hear everyone's stories. I'm the team lead in live producing at Gameforge at the moment, which is an established video games publisher, and they are based in the south of Germany where it's normally nice and warm in summers. And yeah, in live producing, normally we take care of the operational side of the existing games portfolio that we have in the company, which includes things like the regular updates that we get for all the games or cool events, like when we want to do something special for Christmas or for Easter or Halloween. And of course, we're also the ones at the front lines helping if anything breaks. So we all love to say that nothing ever breaks, but everything breaks all the time. And so it's quite a lot of like firefighting for us there too.
That's great. And that's your recent role. But how about the journey that actually the start of it? How did you choose gaming?
It's actually a very interesting question that I haven't thought about for quite a little while. So it's nice to actually think back how it all started. Because I always loved playing games quite a lot, alone or with friends, but I never considered actually doing a career in this industry. And a while later, when I studied new media, we did some web design workshops and we built some little prototypes in Unity, so it went a bit into the gaming direction. And then I also had to do like an internship as part of my studies, which was for one semester. And I just started looking around a little bit, like what are cool companies in the area? What's generally there? What do I want to do? And then I saw this ad that basically said, hey, we're looking for an intern in game evaluation. And I looked at it and was like, wow, this is one of these strange ads that you see that says you can sit on your couch and just put some pens together and you'll be super rich in a month or something. So I felt like it was like one of those jobs that don't really exist. Then I saw, okay, it's actually a company that I had heard of. So Gameforge, it's established as well. And then I realized, wow, this is actually a real job and I can actually work in games. Did my internship in Gameforge at the time. And then I just completely fell in love with the industry and with the work and just staying in video games. And so I was quite happy that everything worked out. So the internship turned into a working student position, then turned into a full-time position. That was just the start of everything. And I was so in love with finding out that there's actually a job in this field and that it's something that I really like that I had never thought about before.
Yeah, that's actually a really good story and really good start. What did you expect, you know, joining the company what in your first role at Gameforge, and how did the role surprise you in the end?
it's actually been like, it's been such a cool start because everyone was super welcoming and I didn't expect that. I thought like, I'm the newbie and so I might be a little bit left alone because I don't have that much experience and I don't quite know what I'm doing or where I want to go yet. But I actually discovered that everyone would speak so openly and like really help and share their stories, especially like the super industry veterans that have done this work for years and years and years. Especially in the beginning, it was just so inspirational that I could see, okay, this is the range of opportunities that kind of open up in front of my eyes just now. And there's so many things that I can do and everything sounds so interesting. So I felt like really empowered just by this pure welcoming aura and that like those veterans would actually have time for me and tell me the things that they've experienced. So I thought that was really awesome actually. That was the first one. And then also looking back, I thought about it a little bit that the games industry is often seen as this male-dominated industry. But at the time when I started, that thought just didn't cross my mind at all. I was just so excited to get started and everyone was so friendly. And I was quite happy that there were actually quite a few other women as well, like in my team and the other departments. And we had like a little chat group to speak about our different job positions as well between the girls, which was also great. So, and I never really felt there was any difference between the genders or how anyone was treated or so. And it was just really important to be friendly and respectful and to get your work done. And that was actually something that surprised me a little bit now actually looking back. And I thought both of those are actually quite important, quite nice points to highlight.
Yes, definitely. It's always great to have an opportunity to learn from the veterans and from people who already have seen much more than we did, right?
So yeah, that's
a great part. And apart from these positive experiences, what was the most challenging part? And well, this can also be a positive, right, of your first role in the gaming industry?
Yeah, the biggest challenge for me actually when I started, it was really simple, but it was speaking English. it was so new to me. And we had this department lead, so like the lead of my team leader. So I thought really high up and like been in the industry for ages. And he was like really tall and like slightly grumping looking American guy. And I really hope he forgives me for saying that when he hears this, but because he's the nicest person ever. But I was so unprepared to speak to this tall person, veteran from the industry, and he doesn't speak any German. And I was just completely surprised by this. So it was the first time I really had to push like out of my comfort zone and start using my awesome school English that I never really had to utilize before. So that was definitely the first really challenging part when I got started, especially in the beginning. That was just, okay, I'll use this international language now so that I can speak to all the cool people as well.
Yeah, and all together with this, you know, specific vocab for game industry, right? So quite of a start. That's great to hear about your first experience, but can you tell us a bit more about what happens next and your time at Kolibri? Because that is a real founder's story.
Yeah, it was quite interesting, quite a journey. So I'm not actually a founder of the company.
Absolutely.
But I was like the first full-time employee that the founders hired at the time. And it was basically a student-y type startup with like the office in the living room, and you would sit on like the most uncomfortable IKEA chairs that you can possibly imagine. Back in the day, the company also had a different name. It was still called Fluffy Fairy Games, which was just like really interesting for me anyways, because a gaming company that has the name Fairy in it, it just appealed to me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the founders there, basically, they knew a lot about like the economical side and business side of things. And they were looking to get someone in that can support them a bit more with the gaming side and the networking side, because they were a bit more technology oriented, but not too deep into the gaming side. And then so basically, without any investment money, we just started on our path, and there was like nothing. There were no processes, no defined workflows, not even all the team roles were super defined in the beginning. And we had to just like stomp a company out of the ground pretty much. And because everything skyrocketed really fast, it taught me so much about how to work independently and how to find solutions for really complex problems without having this person like your lead or so that holds your hand and tells you what to do better next time. There was nobody there, so it was the trial and error and moving super fast. And we really loved it because it had so much freedom and we made so many mistakes, but it always pushed forward. And so there was so much learning and growth that I think not only me, but everyone actually took out of it. So yeah, it was quite an exciting story to see that growth happening.
It's great feeling of accomplishment once you see that something you've started from the tiny seed. And as I remember, you've told me about sharing one excellent one laptop in the beginning, right?
Yes.
So, you know, that's the hard starting point. And then it's escalated and it grew into, well, a great, well-known company. So it's a great experience.
In the beginning, it's so, okay, where do we want to put our money? Because obviously without investment or so, we always try to only spend what we earned. And so in the beginning, that was quite a challenge. We had to think about, okay, where do we want to put our money now? What do we get out of it? And where do we have to be a bit tighter than on the other side? So it was very interesting to juggle all of those things. But I also think the founders here also did like a great job, and the team itself, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And basing that on your experience, what do you think is crucial once you're scaling up the company, the gaming company, so rapidly, but can actually be quite easily omitted in game dev studios operations?
So by this question, do you mean that it's something that often kind of gets forgotten or not valued enough by the studios, or?
Yeah, I think that both things, basically, because, you know, you're scaling up the business very quickly, and then it's easy to be so focused on the product that you may forget about operations.
Yeah, I believe that still, like, it sounds simple as well, but that the significance of communication and transparency still gets overlooked sometimes. So, like, keeping everyone informed, you would think that's a very easy task to do, but it's actually really difficult to master, especially as you're growing. So you have to think about like your personal structures as well, like how many people can be in one team to have one team leader, all of those things that we never encountered before, for example. But I still think it's actually relevant for for all kinds of companies, because communication does get more difficult, even with the best intentions. The more people you hire and the more growth is there, it just gets more difficult to handle. And then I also feel the value of having personal development for your teams or within a person can get forgotten sometimes as well. So that you start focusing on hard skills, so like training someone to be a super expert in Excel or in any specific tools. But then it's also important to look at the soft skills. So that's something that's really important to me personally as well, is to grow things like, how do I stay motivated? How do I motivate other teams? How do I keep positive thinking in my head? Or how do I train my memory so that I can keep everything in my head that's going on. Because especially in startups, there's so many things at the same time happening that are new to you. So yeah, I feel the value of those things is really important.
Yes, definitely. I couldn't agree more, especially on like the communication part and the thing that you've said about the personal development. I think it's really important. So many people forget about that, focused on, you know, bringing the extra value, the easy to understand value in terms of skills, but they forget about the people who need to have those skills and be able to actually use them, right?
Yes, exactly.
And you have graduated in art, right?
I've done my Bachelor of Arts, but it was actually called New Media. So it had like a combination of art elements and more into like the web design direction as well.
Okay, so I can definitely see the connections between that and your role as a game evaluation specialist. But can you tell us why did you decide to join Colibri and started to pursue your career in the operations field?
Game evaluation job wasn't particularly on the artsy side of things, but it was more the jumpstart kind of into my professional gaming direction. But during my time in Gameforge, I actually realized that I had a lot of fun and interest in coordinating and planning internal events. And basically that then made me kind of want to see and try out what else I can do with the organizational areas they are. And so with Colibri, that was suiting quite well because the founders were looking for someone who could kind of take good care of everything around their developers, in addition to the like games knowledge and contacts that we spoke about. But it was actually a great playing field because this operational jump that I did there with the, I really want to try this out. And then this job kind of giving me exactly what I was looking for. So it was just a great fit. And then, yeah, it evolved into doing all kinds of things. So like working with all the individuals to deal with our localization, with our communities and trying different PR things and also looking into HR and recruiting while also doing the general office management. So it was quite a broad spectrum of organizational tasks and it gave me a great playing field to explore everything that I could do and see where my limits would be as well.
Definitely. And I totally see why the memory skills are important because the number of areas you've just mentioned, it's really a lot for the normal person. So you need to master the skills of, you know, simultaneously managing different fields. So kudos to that because that's a great challenge.
Thank you.
And actually, when did you decide to start contributing to the area of women in gaming? Because that's something I know you're pretty much into as well.
Yeah. Like, it was basically around the time when I started, like around my first jobs. And I just had this interest and saw there's many indie games meetups within the area that I lived. And then at some point on my social media, I saw something that said, hey, we'll do a female game developers meetup. And they called it the FemDev meetup. And I looked at that event and saw there wasn't anyone I knew, but it just sounded so interesting and so intriguing to see this new initiative. And it looked like a platform for females to talk about games. And I thought, oh, this is exciting. So I felt like I will just be brave and just try this. And so I got on a train ride that was like 3 hours to meet people that I've never seen before. And I remember walking into that room where they did the event. And I was a bit scared because I thought it would be like at a party, you know, when you're invited, but you don't actually know anyone and you don't really know what to do with yourself. And so I was very scared of that in the beginning. But then I walked through the door and there were at least 4 or 5 girls just coming towards me and greeting me with lots of smiles. And they were just like, hey, you want to drink something? You want to have some cake? You're welcome here. Who are you? What are you doing? And so that just felt amazing to walk into this room of people that I've never seen and them just being so open. And it was quite nice about this event that it was also more inclusive. So there were also a couple of males there that just wanted to support this idea and get in touch as well and have nice chats. So it was a really friendly and open. And after this event, that was like the first Women in Games event, I would say, that I attended. I had really great conversations with the founder girl there, who actually became a friend by now, and she has the same birthday as me, which was very cool. And so I spoke to her a lot, and then a few of the girls as well, and just looked into how I can get more involved in this and support it. And so I also did my first talk there about like getting started in the industry as a woman and things, which was quite cool. And a little group of the girls that I met there, we also went international together. So we visited one of the Women in Games events in London that I think is a yearly event, and then just pushed for new ideas and new opportunities. And it was a very unique and very cool experience. And I would say that was definitely the start of kind of getting me intrigued and pulling me into this Women in Games area to support and help there as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great story. And, you know, the fact that the community was so so open, you know, for new people to join, that's a great strength, I guess, of women in game development.
Yeah, it felt great. So you're not the stranger for too long. It's just like, hey, you're one of us now, which is just awesome. Yeah.
Exactly. And now you are back in GameForge as team lead live producing, right?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So what are your key tasks and the biggest challenges now?
So I would still stick with facilitating communication. That's probably still the most important one. Because for us, for example, the company and all the external companies that we work with just consist of so many different individuals with different cultures and different languages, and some work remotely, or right now all of us work remotely, and so we just don't always understand each other right away. And it's a big part of my job, or also of the team, to find out where problems actually are, or where information has been lost, or where it's unclear, and how we can improve and push forward quickly and efficiently as well. So that's definitely one really big one. And I would also add in the training for the team. So like tool training, but also personal development. That's a big part of my role specifically. And it also includes really being creative and innovative all the time, and get rid of processes that just don't work, and then constantly iterate upon them and polish them, so that basically you never stand still. You always look for things to improve. And that's very, very important for us as well, to be fast there and identify where there's issues and get rid of them. So yeah, I would say that the top duties are definitely communication, and then the development and iteration with a little like healthy dose of hands-on firefighting, because I also don't get around that. It's always for the full team. Like if someone's out or if something breaks last minute, then we're all there to jump in and put out the fires.
That's great to have this team spirit inside your team. I guess that's extremely beneficial and very motivating to actually achieve more, right?
Yes, yeah, it's great. It's so good to know as well that if someone is out ill or so, or even if I'm out sometimes, that there's always someone that can jump in and that will catch things that happen. So, or if you're on holiday, you don't have to be worried because you know it's in safe hands and there's someone that can cover and catch everything. So it's quite a nice feeling to have this team. Yeah.
Yep, this is great. And I have to ask, aren't you bored in your current role? I know you've explained your task pretty well and it still sounds exciting, but you are back to the same company in which one you've started after many years of really colorful experiences. How does it feel?
Yeah, I think boring is definitely not one of the words that I would use because there's so much to do and I'm always super busy. It's actually a very international environment here and it's a very colorful environment, I would say, because not only myself, but also the company has changed quite a lot over the last year. So when I was first there, most things were still in German, for example. So all the documentation and most people and meetings would speak in German. And now it's just a very different company. There were so many structures and iterations put in place and the teams are very mixed now as well. So all of those different backgrounds and the movement of the company really keep things super interesting. And then the LP work, like the live producing work, is also very challenging because it's at a very high level and we're basically like in the heart of the company, we're the ones that have to see everything that's going on and speak to all of the different teams and then be sure we never miss anything. So it's very challenging. And yeah, also the other thing for me personally is that now I actually have a team. And so I don't just build a product. I also build the people in my team. And so that is a very big challenge where I really get to put into action all the things, like all the knowledge and experience that I've gained before and put it into this established gaming company structure. So it's not just the product, it's now also the people. And actually, that is incredibly challenging to help with the vision and help with the guidance and be sure that everyone can work really well together.
That's great to hear. And it's also, I think, the remark of our industry that we are developing so quickly that even if you're back in the same company, it's not like being in the same place because the world is changing and the companies are being shaped on the way, on the go. So I guess you can find yourself many new challenges even joining the same place because it's not similar to where you started and you probably also are more experienced than before, so you can contribute from the different perspective now.
Yeah, it's actually very cool to see how the company, but also myself, have grown throughout the last years, and now it just works really well, which is great. So,
yeah, absolutely. And what advice would you give to a girl who would like to start her career in gaming?
I would definitely say to be super strong and be super curious, because if you're being really brave and embrace and look for these opportunities, things like events or so, or getting involved in the industry groups on social media or something, it doesn't take much. You do this first step and then there's so much support there, which is awesome. So I feel like the bravery and curiosity really pays off. So it's quite nice to get in touch with people. So if you're unsure, to reach out to people as well, because most of them that I met were really welcoming and really there to help. So if you're being involved in those different groups or speak to others and just generally stay open, I think it's a very good starting point to have. And I think it also helps to find out what is right for you, like what's actually the job or the industry that is right for this person, because there's so many different jobs. And I never thought about the operational side, for example, but when I did it, I really loved it. So I think it gives an opportunity to ask questions and find out, these are maybe things that aren't the right fit for me. and maybe this one fits better to me. So yeah, I would say if you're strong and curious, that's definitely a good start to get involved.
Great, great. Thank you, Sophie. And it was my great pleasure to have you on the show and to listen to your story. And I'm sure that people will love that because it's really inspirational and it's based on so many diversified experiences and your own curiosity. So what you advise to the others, it's something you actually put in life yourself. So I think there's nothing better than the authenticity of your words to inspire new girls.
Wow. Thank you so much. It was so great talking to you. And yeah, I look forward to having lots and lots more wonderful conversations with you, or maybe with the girls that are listening to this and want to get in touch or something. I'm very open to talk and exchange experience and give something back and help there as well.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you for being here today. No matter where in the world or at what point of your career stage you are, I'm truly curious about what this podcast brings to you today. Was it a spark of inspiration for your next project? A much needed kick to send this one more application for a dreamed job position? Or maybe we simply had a chance to accompany you in your morning coffee routine? Connect with me via email or on Twitter and share your thoughts. Make sure you also like It's Her Game page on Facebook and follow the Instagram account It's Her Game, _podcast, for exclusive content and to make sure you won't miss the next episode. Have a wonderful day. Bye!